You know what? I feel like we're having a lot of magic discussion, and I think that given that there's a lot of magic discussion happening, given that we're on Magic Podcast, I think that recording it is probably the play.
I think you're so correct for that.
Okay, Bugs, I don't like it when you say that I'm correct, because that implies that I've ever been wrong. You know what I mean? Like,
actually, oh, you know what? No, you continue to be so correct for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. it's just sort of an implication that if I'm saying something, it's because it's correct, is why I'm trying
Yeah, no,
to
no, say. I feel.
Yeah, because
no, I apologize.
You're calling me a liar when you say you're so correct, because
you're
if I said something wrong, that makes me a liar, and I'm not a liar.
No, you're okay. Many things, but certainly not a liar. Hot, hot, hot. I'm rolling around on the floor like a fucking dog.
Rolling around on the floor like a little dog.
You're like hit movie Dog Man 2025 from Blumhouse.
No, I'm more like Night Bitch.
Dude, can,
you're like
dude,
the hit film Hotel for Dogs.
You can't mention Night Bitch and like not expect me to want to talk about Night Bitch. You have no idea. You have no
idea. Okay, actually, oh my god. I still haven't seen it.
Do we open the episode with Night Bitch talk? Why the fuck?
Hey, yo, what up? Welcome to Pod of Talk, the one and only Night Bitch podcast.
Pod of Talk, whatever. Pod of Talk, come posting. Come podding. Come pod.
Come
pod. Come pod of talking.
Come a talk. It's come a talk.
Come a talk. Welcome back to come. What?
Welcome back to come a talk.
Wait, I can wait. Hear me out. What if we did this? What's up, little goblins? It's Comatog back at okay, it doesn't have the ring of
no here Comatog. hear me out like shit,
what's up little Comatog?
No, what's spawning my spiders? Welcome back to Potatog.
What's spawning my spiders? Welcome
what?
Back.
What?
That's a good one. I like it
yeah
it.
No, I love spider spawning.
Put that on a shirt. What's spawning
my spiders?
I just
put spider spawning in my Golgari vampire deck.
We're so focused today. Hi, welcome to Pod of Talk.
Okay,
I'm Bugs.
This is me every day. Hi, welcome to Pod of Talk. I'm Jordan.
And Rose is pretty active on the mic right now. And yeah, is she? Hell yeah.
It's not a guest episode. It's fine.
Yeah, no, we're just hanging out.
Whatever. I did want to apologize to you, because I realized I've been a bully. I was bullying you guys on the Magic the Gathering podcast for liking Magic the Gathering. I called you nerds. I think I said turbo nerds, and I said that you were like cold warriors who didn't go outside last episode. I wanted to apologize because I've been reflecting.
Well,
I've been a journey.
I mean, I hear you. I see you. I love that you're learning and growing, but I just got back from MagicCon Chicago, and let me tell you, this game's kind of full of nerds. So you might be kind of right, actually.
I just wanted to say, I threw a stone in a glass house, because this week I've been organizing my books by Dewey Decimal.
You're an icon.
Because, let me tell you, folks, it was getting out of hand. I was not keeping up with my ISBN trackers, and they were just getting put onto shelves haphazardly. Like, with no account for what the Dewey Decimal number was. And I
love that you're learning and growing. I love that you're becoming a bigger and better person.
Is that worse than being a Magic fan?
No, because that's you're doing something productive. You are touching paper that's expensive for a good reason.
Is it productive that I realize that I have two copies of On the Condition of the Working Class of England? Because that's just sad. It's just a sad thing to discover that you...
That okay, you know what, now you're getting a little sweaty with it. Okay,
yeah,
okay,
it's sad, it's worse. You can say it's worse and I won't bully you again. That's
it's,
my promise.
All right, it's definitely about as bad.
Yeah, it's up there.
Oh my god. But yeah, Jordan, how you doing? How you feeling?
I you know, it has been it's been such a time in the rest of the world, and also a time in like the world of magic, where I have been doing. Sorry, give me one second. My dog is whining about something. Give me a second.
I need a supercut of every time you need to ask for a second because your dog is whining.
Okay, how are you, Bugs? How are you? my
I'm doing great. I so this past weekend, yeah, was MagicCon Chicago, and we gathered a lot of magic. I hung out with some very, very lovely friends, and Rosa, I'm going to tell you a little bit later into the pod how much money I spent on a single piece of cardboard, and I'm going to need you to, like, really internalize how bad I am with money.
This is a safe space. We will hold space for you.
Again, I'm no better. Here is a original 1932 copy of Liam O'Flaherty, I Went to Russia, published in Ireland, original first edition. So I'm no better.
So what you're saying is we're all autistic about different things.
No,
we all love paper.
I'm confirmed not autistic, okay, pal? I'm very autistic about the fact that I'm not autistic.
My special interest is telling people that I'm not autistic.
Exactly. Except I will say I think I almost gave myself autism, if you'll indulge me for a brief moment. Yeah.
You're editing a Magic the Gathering podcast, so you could just be catching strays.
When I was in elementary school, I'm an amputee because of fucking wacky hijinks in the womb. I have a cleft lip and palate. Unrelated, I just got very unlucky. And because of that, teachers would assume that I had some sort of developmental disability for some fucking reason. So what I started doing is trying my absolute hardest to not act disabled, which just came across like I was highly autistic. So I started masking for no reason. And this went on until like middle school, until my mom told me, "Why do you act autistic? What are you doing? Are you autistic?" I was like, "No, I just need to prove how not disabled I am to people around me." She says, "You're acting disabled by doing that." And I stopped, and now I'm not autistic. So I was autistic for several years, except
You were practicing.
I was method acting as a autistic child for many years.
That's absolutely incredible. Jesus Christ.
I know. It's
dude, that rocks. Yeah, but
Jordan's just like
magic. Yeah, no, it's okay. We're all kind of distracted. We're all over the place here.
We're all exhausted, but
just from various things for various reasons. Well, I mean, exhausted at the sheer amount of like magic news to come out of MagicCon.
Oh my God. I was in the middle of playing a bracket one game of Commander, kind of like stress testing the format when the Avatar The Last Airbender news dropped, and we all freaked. We're like, I can't speak for the entire community, but I will say that the pod I was in was very excited that we're getting Airbender cards. That fucking kicks. It's cool if that's not for everyone. If we're doing Universes Beyond, Benders are close enough to Planeswalkers. We have enough people who can fucking throw fire that I'm like, yeah, all right. Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy Avatar quite a bit. But I do not have the same... I never had the same attachment to it as a lot of other people did. And so I think for this set, it's going to be more of like my attachment to something like... I like it more than Doctor Who, but something, you know, akin to like more of a 40K. Where it's like I don't hate it by any stretch. I'm excited to see new cards. I'm excited to see how they can make this work in the format, how they can use this world to create a interesting play environment. But I am so are you starting to feel, because I am getting tired of the incessant bitching about how much of Magic is becoming Universes Beyond. But are you starting to feel it yet? Because I'm starting to feel it.
That's a great question. Like, I don't love that we got spoilers and some stuff revealed about Final Fantasy before Tarkir.
Yeah.
Like, that just did not feel super stonks. Not my favorite thing. I mean, and like, they did drop a ton of Tarkir info over the weekend too, and that ruled. Like, this feels like fucking magic. Like, we have a dragon named after the storm scale. I think that's so fucking funny. Like,
and I think the Tarkir, I'm looking at the Tarkir Scryfall right now. I think Tarkir and everything we've seen about it so far, and I think it being sandwiched between Aether Drift, which we're just kind of like, and Final Fantasy, which a lot of people are excited for, but it is more Universes Beyond. I think Tarkir's going to kick, but it is the first, like, outside of Foundations, you know, it's the first set that maybe Bloomburrow, but I could go back further than that. This is like just some magic ass magic. Like,
yeah,
look at the sets we had last year. This is so, like, uniquely, classically magic in a way that we aren't getting a lot of these days. And then the schedule also isn't allowing for a lot of.
I think
as an outsider with the Universes Beyond thing, it does make me want to pick up magic a little bit. Like, the cool crossovers does make me want to pick up magic. And the more that I see of it, the more I'm like, maybe I make a commander deck. I don't know. I think it's
so
cool.
Here's the thing.
I mean, first and foremost, though, I want to jump on this and say, yeah, Rose, if you want in, I will. I'll get you into the fucking game. If there's ever a card or a thing that you're like, yeah, okay, I like Spock. I want a Spock deck.
Yeah, I do want to. I think it would be very funny for me to do my own research and hack together some sort of commander deck, because I think that would be a funny episode. I'm planning on doing that at some point.
We should plan on that,
or how good it is.
I want to see you fall ass backwards into like Stax control decks.
I don't know. I just feel like I'm gonna end up spending all of my money on packs and then wake up in a pile of my own urine covered in cardboard.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been there. But
then this show would end up being a loss, because all of the money I'm making on this show just goes into a magic addiction that you guys gave me, and then I'm operating at like a monthly loss. You know?
Okay, so the thing about the Universes Beyond sets is that they are really great for getting people who might not have been interested in magic into the game. I think that is borne out, especially with like the Fallout sets, which hit at such a perfect time for the brand, with everybody loving the Amazon show. But I was sitting down, I was at a table this last week, and I was playing with some friends, and one of them had the Dog Meat deck from Fallout, which is a great, great equipment.
That thing's design is
awesome. Like, it gets gross, real fucking gross.
We can Universes Beyond yes or no until the cows come home, but like, Dog Meat kicks.
Like, and there are so many, I think the Fallout set in particular has so many great mechanical pieces of design to it that I don't blame anybody, at whatever level of magic you love, if you love the strategy of the game, for getting in and liking that set. But then I was thinking about, we just got the Cloud Commander deck, and then the Cloud Sephiroth, the kind of two-pack starter deck. And both of those Cloud cards love equipment. And my first thought was, not Dog Meat, but my first thought when I saw the Cloud stuff was, damn, you know who else loves equipment? Eivor from the Assassin's Creed set. There's a Raven Clan axe and Mjolnir and Excalibur, and like there's some really great Assassin's Creed shit. And then I was sitting there watching somebody Voltron, you know, a pre-war formal wear and a Silver Shroud costume and a Power Fist or whatever the fuck onto Dog Meat, and I'm like, in 6 months, I'm going to be watching this dog swing with like a fucking Buster sword and like God knows what else, something I'm sure from the SpongeBob Secret Lair.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have SpongeBob Spatula. It's going to be like a reskinned Colossus Hammer.
it's stuff like that, that I'm like, this, it is the as loath as I am to be a kind of grumpy Gus about it, but it is the Fortnite-ification of everything. So I saw somebody recently posting about Call of Duty, and they were showing a picture, and it was Ninja Turtles on one side and fucking Terminator T-800 on the other. And they were like, this is kind of like the path that Mortal Kombat and Fortnite led us to, where you just stuff in so many tangentially related, like, so much tangentially related iconography that your audience loves, regardless of whether it fits, to the point where it starts to water down the actual identity of your game.
Absolutely. Like, and you're aware of the Fortnite secret lair, right?
Oh yeah, yep. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think that there is something to be said about art being commodified and just reduced to this mere abstraction, to be shoved in other things, which just leads to like a hegemonic blob.
Well, no, Rosa, they haven't had mirror cards in there for a couple sets, actually.
No, we had mirror back in, I guess it's been a few sets, but all will be one.
Yeah. Continue, Rosa.
I mean, with the crossover shit, like in the Fortnite-ification thing.
I know. We were joking. Creature called Mir, M-Y-R.
It's a whole creature. It's a whole little type. They're really cute little robots.
They're little guys.
Far above my head, I didn't even see it.
Actually, they'd be below your head. They're tiny. They're small.
Okay, me in editing, insert a laugh track.
But tis.
Okay. Well, I do think that there is a point to be made about the death of individual artistic identity within these, I loathe the term, intellectual properties, by just shoving in neutered abstractions of other pieces of art, which leads to just like everything being Smash Brothers, which Smash
it's
Brothers
everything
is
Smash
cool
Brothers, and it wants you to do the fucking what's his name, the Leo DiCaprio point.
Yeah,
well, and it's not just that. For me, I think the big problem is that it's not just like, you know, Fortnite or Call of Duty. They have a $20 skin or a $10 skin or whatever. If you want to play as, you know, fucking Batman or Homeland or who, Pickle Rick, who gives a shit? Like, whatever. For me, it isn't just that it is now secret layer stuff. It is now we're looking at full sets and like
standard legal sets.
Standard legal sets, but like I was talking about with Fallout Commander, like these are fully custom created decks with great unique cards and unique mechanics that players will want to play. And like that makes it a good product. But I think that, you know, there isn't that abstraction where it's like so Bugs, I've been making a lot of proxies lately. I've been showing you some of the ones I'm making. And
yeah.
I just ordered a set of, I have about 10 cards that are, I used art from the Witcher digital card game. Because there's just like an online repository of like hundreds of pieces of high res, great painted artwork of like Witcher monsters and shit. And so, and it's just, they're just staples, you know, it's like Burnished Heart, Jet Medallion, stuff I have,
just,
you know, a couple
shit
of.
Shit that you're going to jam into everything.
Exactly. Just to hear, look at my cool ass, here's a Swords to Plowshares, but it has Geralt on it. Isn't that neat? And just stuff like that when I'm building decks. And that, but that's different than like, okay, here are entirely unique cards that you can only get this way. That when you sit down to a table, like if you are one of the players that for whatever reason you want to not partake in buying, because I know there are grumpy gusses out there who are already poo-pooing like, oh, Spider-Man, blah, blah, blah. Like that isn't going to stop these cards from being relevant. And in some cases, there are going to be cards that are like, no, like we're going to need to talk about banning this. We're going to need to talk about how this affects the curve and how like, is this a game changer and stuff moving forward?
Yeah.
And I'm just, I guess that all wraps back around to Bugs wanting to ask you at MagicCon, what was the kind of flavor with that? Because you're talking about, you know, peering at the rest of the year, peering at these big announcements, when you're talking about, you know, it's just like you were saying with getting Final Fantasy news before Tarkir. Isn't Edge of Eternities the next set after Tarkir?
No, it's going Tarkir, Fantasy, Edge.
Okay.
Yeah, then, so we're thankfully
still before Avatar, though, right?
Yes. Avatar will be the final set of the year.
And that's the thing is that, like, again, I feel like you're getting And I understand it's all for hype reasons. I am, you know, the marketing department has this all fucking tracked out, I'm sure. But the idea that you are looking down the barrel of back-to-back original universe Magic sets and the things that they're showing off at these conventions for Magic fans, the things that are getting the most attention, not just from, like, you know, headlines, but from the people making the game, are Avatar and Final Fantasy. And I'm curious, was there any sense of, like, tiredness or any kind of fatigue even starting to set in for either you or other people at the con?
I mean, I would say that I still have a decent amount of hype for the franchise writ large. And I mean, okay, so going into the con, I actually had the really awesome experience of, so I took a train from Minneapolis to Chicago, and I rode the whole way there with a friend of mine, Trap, who he's very big in, like, the Vorthos community within Magic, so, like, very, very lore heavy. And we probably spent, like, 4 hours speculating on the story of Tarkir and trying to piece together, like, okay, what the fuck does this mean for Ugin? Are we going to see Nicol Bolas and all of that? And so, like, there is definitely still a pretty good chunk of the community that, like, gives a shit in that direction. And I guess kind of broadly, though, like, the sense at the con was two things. Or it was, everyone was very of two minds. It was either, you know, oh, fuck yeah, Avatar, let's go, like, do I love that this is what the card game that I love is becoming? Maybe not necessarily, but I am going to try to be excited about it. Or a sort of resigned, well, all right, you know, I'm not gonna, at least thus far, and I think this will probably continue into at least next year, there's still a sense of, or still a very strong communal sense of, I will never tell someone that they can't play a card they like at my table. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, I being kind of synecdoche for most Magic players, like, I would rather share with you a fun, like, you know, a fun game of cards than be a dick. And even though it's, like, I got into Magic because of the art and the lore. Like, that was, yeah. Like, I think that this shit's awesome. Like, it was really fun to, like, you know, try to stress test the new, like, bracket system for commanders, where one of the things that usually is held to be, like, the weaker decks are the ones that are built for, like, super flavor lore reasons, and then be like, no, here's my Rhea Ivor deck. It got dubbed the Cuck Chair by one play group because I did not allow two players to play the game because this deck is a pile of heinous hell. It's like, no, if you want to, you can indulge yourself in the lore and have a great fucking time. And I do wish that there was, if we were going this hard on Universes Beyond stuff, I wish that, like, an equal amount of energy was being spent fostering this side of things as well. I think, and I think that sentiment is very, very shared through the community right now.
I will say, I don't think that there's anything necessarily, like, grumpy about being bothered by the introduction of these crossover things, because I don't know if I've been playing this game, like, a game for years and years and years, and the new meta was the Pickle Rick meta, I'd be fucking pissed, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because
it's, like, and it's, the and it's the individual artistic identity. And, like, as someone who grew up playing TF2, who loves TF2, like, I felt that when there was any sort of, like, crossover items that broke the art style. Like, even if it got people into the game, it's like, it's, no, this is this whole artistic universe that I really like because it's its own thing. And there can be some cool crossovers that make sense. But when it's stuff like an Octodad hat being added in, I don't want that. That looks like shit. Get it out. It doesn't fit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that that's a really, really apt way of putting it. Like,
I think that like I would be a hypocrite to say that anyone is to or agree with the sentiment that anyone's like being grumpy or stuck in their ways for saying that they don't like the crossover shit, because
yeah,
as someone who gives a shit about art,
yeah,
I probably wouldn't like it, even if it's... I'm able to like be a little soy Redditor who's like, oh my god, look at all the awesome crossover on the sidelines, because I'm not familiar with it. Yeah. If I was familiar with it, I would be like, this is the death of an art style, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because
it,
I've
like,
done
it
that
truly is, it truly is like trying to juggle both, or trying to wear both of those hats at once sometimes. Like, it's just like, be for real, please. Like,
yeah.
Because, like, yeah, I mean, I like the way that the story is going right now. I think it's a lot of fun, and I wish that, like, Wizards was doing more to promote that side of things, where it's, like, it's really been interesting, actually, something that came up a few times over the weekend, the difference in opinion that, people who care, like, pay attention to the official story or not, like, what they think about loot is. Loot, yeah, for the uninitiated is a funny little orange guy who feels a little bit like a baby Yoda, but in universe
and, well,
is actually
in the
interesting.
Context, in the context of being like a mascot, a lot of people treat him like he is a mascot character, first and foremost, like in the way that people see Baby Yoda or the Porgs or fucking, you know, yeah, any cute little guy in a new Star Wars or Marvel thing.
I hate marketable things. I hate cuteness. I think that
he's a little Pikachu. He's a little Pikachu that's literally like a map of the multiverse. And I think that's awesome. And it's like, what is it? He's a beast noble? Like, y'all, we're not talking about the creature typing here. This is a really interesting little dude. I want to know his deal. But... yeah.
Yeah, it's complicated, because I think that looking back, my two cents for what little it's worth is that these crossover sets would have been best as like official proxies, where it's like
they used to do yeah, effectively reskins, yeah, where it's like an in-universe dinosaur, but it's Godzilla.
Yeah.
An in-universe, yeah, vampire, but it's Dracula.
That would
and
make
that's,
more sense to me, because then it's an actual thing. And
that's my favorite way to do it. Like,
yeah. Like, I've been playing a bit of Balatro lately, and I love that, yeah, game's art direction. Fantastic game. If you haven't played it yet, go play it. And it had official crossovers with, like, a number of properties. But the way it did it is completely optional in a way that I really like, where rather than just like forcing an Among Us Joker that wouldn't fit the game into the game, they made it an optional skin for your heart's face cards and shit like that.
Oh, I love that.
I like that a lot, because like there was a Don't Starve crossover and I turned it on for my spades deck, my spades face cards, because I like that. But if I hadn't played and liked Don't Starve, I wouldn't like this weird sort of unfitting art in a game which has this coherent, fantastic art direction that I really like. I think that probably will have been the best way to do it for the crossovers.
Yeah, no, I think that you're 1000% right. And it's, yeah, just like, I kind of understand why they stopped doing it like that, but it's also just like, money. Yeah,
which I think is a shitty reason to I don't think that that's a reason that should be accepted, you know, if that, yeah, makes sense. Like, yeah, they're logically speaking, a lot of films make decisions I disagree with because, mm-hmm, because it makes money, because it can lead up to a sequel, because it makes it more marketable, yada 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 yada, but it doesn't mean that I have to like it or accept it, even if there, yeah, is the adverse effect of introducing more people to a piece of art that I like. I'd rather just have a better piece of art.
Yeah, no, let me be more excited. Give me some, like, weird little Phyrexian to geek out over. That, like, give me a Phyrexian to talk about on Blue Sky, just, like, uninhibited for 25 minutes. I will get 5 new players. Like,
yeah.
It's, yeah.
Well, so it's interesting you actually mentioned that, because as I've been getting deeper into like building specific decks and getting into building more, let's call them bracket 1 or 2 decks. Like I've recently started building a like Sengir family deck, which most of the Sengir cards are from fucking Homelands and are absolutely cheeks. But it going into that has been a fun way to also like go back and read through the story and read through these worlds and like old fucking comic books that they had made in the 90s. And it does remind you how much history there is to this game, but also to these multiple fantastically detailed fantasy worlds that they've brought to life over the years. And I think that part of the big reason people have been so disappointed, and you know, there's this idea of Magic, like, you know, dress up hats is an idea that's been floated about things like, you know, Karlov Manor was dressing up detectives' hats, Thunder Junction was dressing up in cowboy hats. And that's like, I think the fairness in that comes from the fact that it is not the level of depth and exploration that people are accustomed to from that world, from the cards themselves, the stories being told through the cards. And I think that, to me, is one of the things that we're also like missing out on, even in the, and maybe, hey, maybe that'll change. Maybe eventually they will try to start telling their own unique stories in these universes. I think that would be neat, instead of just like, here's a bunch of Fallout cards. I mean, that's
like, here's a bunch of references.
Well, and here's the, like, that's what we were talking about with Spider-Man. Like, what if they had the Spider-Verse, but it was different planes? Like, so here's Innistrad Spider-Man. Here's Ravnica and Kaladesh Spider-Man. Like, that, I feel, God, I'm waiting with bated breath. That will never happen. I want it to happen so bad. But
that'd be so
kick-ass. Aside from that, let's talk about MagicCon. For those who weren't able to go but dearly wanted to, like myself, how was it? What did you do? Tell me all about it.
I mean, my shock of shocks, my MagicCon experience was silly and sillier than maybe most people's, because I spent all of Saturday being my friend's cosplay handler while they were competing in like the officially sanctioned cosplay contest. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the con, I guess I could break it up into like Friday, Saturday, Sunday all looked very different for me. Like Friday was the day I jammed Commander. I think I jammed like 7 games of Commander. Holy Lordy. All different power brackets. Very pleased to relay that bracket 1 decks are a fucking blast. If you get a pod that's just down to clown, my mono red Jared Karthalion deck is so fun to play. It's head ass nonsense. Like, I wasn't casting him some games. It didn't matter. I'm like, I get to see a Shivan dragon. I get to see this mountain cycling cougar. I don't give a shit. It's
interesting, like, you bring up the bracket system, because this was also the first week that my local LGS switched over to brackets. And I have thoughts on that as well. But continue.
I mean, I will say that at least in Chicago, they were very successful. Like every game that I fired, everyone felt pretty like, it's like, okay, y'all down for like, let's do a 3? Yeah, let's do a 3. And everyone knew like, okay, yeah, like a punchy game, but not like a throwdowny game. Let's go. And that felt lovely. I am oscillating between whether or not Rhea Ivor is a 3 or a 4, as I currently have her built. I think that that really comes down to how I feel like piloting it. But, yeah, I spent Friday, jamming a shitload of Commander and hunting down a Junji Ito Elish Norn.
Yeah, I saw that. How much? So, okay, and you were going to rock Rosa's socks with tale of what you spent on collectible cardboard this weekend.
Oh, well, yeah.
Did,
so
I did want to ask real quick. How did it smell?
So I and my roommates showered all 3 days and wore lots of deodorant. So it smelled fine for us. I do have maybe an anecdote about the smell for Saturday night.
That's surprising because you're a film producer. I figured that you like abused cocaine instead of showering, but good on you, buddy.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, please announce that it was, didn't smell nearly as terrible as, the memes might have you believe, but yeah. So, this Jinji Ito Norn, It's a birthday present for Violet. She knows about it. She, like, literally, like, so it was her birthday this past weekend, and I, like, didn't realize the timing, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm gonna be out of town. I'm like,
I love
dude.
Gito. So this is justified no matter how much it is, because I love
Rosa, Gito. Look it up. Look up the card right now. His Elish Norn is so fucking beautiful.
Norn as in, like, the new norm, but with an...
Elish spelled like an E instead of an F for flesh. Norn, like Norm McDonald, but with an N at the end.
Yo, so like flesh simulator new norm. Oh, that's yeah. A brass card. Dude, that rocks, dude.
Yeah, isn't that sick as hell?
I get that on my wall, dude. I don't even play, but like any
yeah,
amount.
It's hot as shit. Justified.
God, I love you.
Yeah, no.
Fuck.
We fucking love mommy. Yeah, this is like the sickest version of one of the sickest characters
it
in all of Magic.
Is
and like,
mommy. It mother of machines. Wow.
Yeah, no, she's mommy. Yeah, no. So, Vi asked me to find this card for her, and I spent like an hour and a half, 2 hours trawling every single vendor, being like, please have a Jinji Ito Norn. Like, please have one. And I kept being told, oh, we just sold, like, the only one we brought. Until I got to the literal last vendor.
Can I guess?
And they had one, and it was, they only had one, and it was a foil one. And I'm like, yeah, she's worth it. Let's fucking go. It was only $115.
Oh.
Oh, that's not really that bad.
Oh,
dude, I've paid that more for a first edition book. And like,
yeah,
I've paid.
Oh, this was after I bought her a Jinji Ito Thoughtseize and a Phyrexian Text Elish Norn Grand Cenobite, just in case I couldn't find these.
Fair.
Which is to say, she got some really fucking cool cards. But no, Rosa, I also spent almost $300 on a different card.
Oh. that wasn't Jinji Ito, so it's a lot less justified?
I mean, it's still really cool art, but I picked up a Judge's Foil Phyrexian Dreadnought.
Yeah. For how much?
$280.
$280? Yeah.
And
I mean, the suckers out there will pay money for anything. Like, people pay money for my Patreon. I have a tier where you give me $25 a month, I assign you a poster one time. Like, there are a lot of suckers out there.
I'm happy with the purchase. And I think that I'm the only person who's playing Phyrexian Dreadnought in Commander for flavor reasons.
You know, I don't know. It's art, even if it's more abstracted, and I'm sort of okay for people spending a lot of money on art.
I love the Dreadnought. I think, like, mechanically it's really cool. I think the art is, for anyone listening to this who doesn't know the Phyrexian Dreadnought, it's from Mirage Block, and so it's like, it's a reserve list card that came out in like the mid-90s. The Judge's Foil is the only shiny version of it that exists. Like, it's so just like,
I'm looking at it and I like it.
It's sick looking, isn't it? And like, I'm not just gonna let that waste away in a binder. Like,
it looks like,
no, I'm,
it looks like Infant Annihilator, an Infant Annihilator album cover.
Yeah, it's metal as
a lot
shit.
Of those. Yeah, a lot of the older Phyrexians, like the new Phyrexia era, have this fucking like H.R. Giger metal ass metal look to them that I as much as I love the March of the Machine and the All Will Be One, like more chitinous look, those fucking old Phyrexians had sauce. They had fucking swag.
Old Phyrexians fucking, oh my, I'll get into my fucking monster fuckery if we start talking about this for too long. So,
Yeah, no, both of these are justified because it's cool art. And it's like, I'll buy metal albums just because H.R. Giger did the album cover. Like, both of these are up my alley. So,
and I think that, like, both of these are also original Magic IP. Just to kind of, like, get back to what we were talking about earlier. It's like, you can have people who are fans of the game that just, like, get into it for the art, stay in it for the art. Like
it would be, I would hate you if you said, I would call you soy if you spent this much money on like a crossover card, because that's way lamer.
Yeah, no, this is like Dreadnought's my boy.
I don't know if there are any. Well, no, are there any of the like really? I don't think there are any crossover cards.
I bet
that are really pulling that money.
Oh, I mean, I bet. I don't.
It'd be billions of dollars. Mark my.
I bet a fucking foil storm by this time next year.
Oh, you know what
is going to be cracked in half.
Yeah. Well, I think those Marvel Secret Layers, that's a little different because of how many people wanted those cards.
Well, yeah, but like, I mean,
mechanically fucking unique.
Well, yeah, but like, I'd put that in the same caliber as a reserve list foil.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess.
Exclusivity
to it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No. Like it's. I think that some like the Dreadnought's mechanically unique.
Yeah.
Which, oh my God, I love the concept of secret layers and shit, but fuck print demand, man. Like Jesus Christ. Like that's so cynical. Like B5 real. B5 real.
So do we want to talk about the Tarkir announcements really quick?
Oh, yeah, we got fucking Jeskai goblins, baby. We're going to have prowess goblins. This dude looks fucking sick as hell.
Where's the Jeskai goblins?
I thought I sent you. Here, let me text you a... wait, what's going on? Hold on. Sorry, I just got a goofy text.
They hit the Pentagon. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The Pentagon McDonald's. What are we gonna do now? Fuck.
Oh shit. Oh fuck. here. I'm texting you the Jeskai goblin. No rules text or anything has been revealed for it, but they are going to probably be having
that guy. Okay. Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah, he's a buddy. Yeah, I mean like I'm stoked that we're getting a new Sarkon. I'm stoked that we're getting a new Ugin. I love the original like three color like different cons that we're getting spirit dragons that coordinate with all of that. Like I'm at time of recording, I believe that we're going to start getting the story I think drops about a week from now. The first, the first episode of that. And I'm, given how Aether Drift ended, I'm really, really excited to see where we go from here. Like, I think Khans is gonna, or I think that Dragonstorm is gonna be fucking kicking.
I'm looking at the showcase frames, and then, like, I guess the collector exclusive showcase frames where they're this kind of like oil slick like watercolor look that I just know is in stark contrast to the kind of yellow of Aether Drift. I know these fucking collector cards. Yeah, I tried holding off judgment until I saw them, and then I saw them and I'm like
seeing them in person, I'm like, well, that's a way you can
bring back old frames.
They're unique. And like I like weird frames. I like shitty frames. I love the like the fractured foil, whatever's for like the full art. Like I'm super okay if there's alt art for magic cards that make them look like Pokemon cards. Go for it. But like This shit stinky. This shit stinky doo-doo. No.
Yeah, no, these like, looking at the Sarkhan and the Skirmish Rhino and those, like, gorgeous multicolor, like, painterly borders is fucking gorgeous looking.
I'm so stoked on Skirmish Rhino. I think that's such a funny card.
That's a great name.
Yeah, it's the baby version of Siege Rhino.
It is, isn't it?
That makes sense to me. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Skirmish is like a smaller Siege. Yeah.
How are you feeling? Okay, sorry, no.
No, I was just gonna say it's a one mana less, slightly depowered Siege Rhino. Like, it's just one less on everything. I think it's, oh my god, I love that kind of design.
That really makes sense to me. That clicks.
Yeah, he's a buddy.
How are you feeling about the thing that I think most people saw coming out of MagicCon, which is the Mox Jasper?
Cute toy for the Ur-Dragon, head-ass card. I'm really excited to see how people try to make it work. This thing's going to be dog water, doo-doo, stinky, unplayable, and anything but Commander.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Debate her.
Absolutely. Bad card. Bad card.
Defeat her in the marketplace.
Okay, but consider for a moment that we just had a ton of, like, very small to mid-sized dragons in Foundations. Which
means
that
you're
getting off.
Your cul-de-sac. Put a land in. You're cul-de-sacking.
Okay, but you can play a land and also play this for free and then get an extra mana to summon those dragons early.
I'm talking just, like, in terms of card count. No, I think this is, outside of very specific decks, I don't think that there's anything that wants it. I think it's design-wise, Mox-wise, it's very safe. I think it's a lot harder to get online. And I'm very happy to eat these words, but I think it's going to be a little bit harder to get online than the buy-in's gonna be. And, like, because the thing with the Mox is, like, you want this fucking stone playable turn one, turn two.
Yeah, like that's when it is most valuable. Yeah,
like and so because it's most likely not going to be in those situations, I think that no, if you need mana of a certain color, like if you need access to so many different types of mana and you aren't otherwise on some sort of dragon plan, what are you doing here? I don't see this having a home in any sort of, like, domain decks or big decks that, like, would otherwise be served by just being tighter.
It's funny you mentioned a dragon plan, because I just switched to that from T-Mobile, and the service has been spotty, but I don't have to worry about warming my eggs anymore, and that's been nice.
That's great.
But, we like to have dumb fun here. Anyway, think about, because this is the second thing is, like, since Aether Drift, and I know I've seen some other ones where it is this kind of, it's a little bit of a wink and nod reference to, you know, obviously the Moxes, and Aether Drift saw it with the Lotus. Yeah, the Lotus thing. What do you think of this design where they aren't going to bring back these things that are either very well printed or incredibly powerful, because, you know, they don't want, like, the fucking Power 9 in Standard for good reason.
I mean, like, we get these things every so often. We had back in, what was it? Was it Dominaria United? Give me 2 seconds. That we had time. Yeah. Dom United. There's a Lotus in Standard right now that no one's fucking playing.
Oh, is it Gilded Lotus?
Timeless Lotus.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Okay. No, yeah, because they just keep making Lotuses. Yeah.
5 mana, comes in tapped, taps for Wooburg. This thing's a piece of dog water. And I think that, like, similarly, 6 mana? I mean, granted, it makes lots of black. Like, it probably pays for itself eventually. But, like, if you're
like you were saying, it's the same. It is the kind of design that is, like, neat and interesting as, like, a fun, like, completionist chase card. But really only has a place in not just Commander, but specific Commander.
Yeah, no, I want that in, like, my, I'm cheating out artifacts, I'm free dropping artifacts, I'm making copies of all of these cheap artifacts. Like, what's the name of, it's Legendary, correct?
The Mox Jasper?
No, the Lotus.
I believe that one might be Mythic.
Damn, you hit those notes, Jordan. Holy shit.
What did I do?
You hit those notes when you did the You hit an insane falsetto. Good job, buddy.
Oh, no, you can copy the Radiant Lotus. Never mind. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you put him in, like, shoot, what's his name? Like, Medicant or something?
Well, know, not with that he? Attitude. I'm
more of a Medicant myself. Oh my god, we just go for the same joke.
That's awful.
I'm glad that joke completely derailed your train of thought.
That is fucking awful. Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah,
I'm,
while you're doing that, I actually have a magic story. I was laying in bed the other day listening to old Cumtown, because Nick Mullen's my favorite comic. He was talking about how he was listening to a Magic the Gathering podcast, and my eyes just snapped open and I got out of bed because of how fucking Jesus. Scary that was. Even though it was an episode from like 5-6 years ago. Horrifying. Horrifying. Yeah.
All right, I found the home for it. I found a home for Bullshit Lotus would be in a Medicant core guidelight. If you have max speed, then you're like free copying this for one. You pay 7, you get 2 of those things. Yeah, go for it. Okay. But
Jesus,
like,
yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, I love these cards. I think they're fun and cute and like they're exciting to open, but they're usually pretty dog water. I haven't actually had a chance to cast it yet, but I did crack a foil Aether Spark that's going directly into my cube. And from everyone that I've talked to, that actually lives up to the hype, even though it dies to a braid. So, I mean...
Yeah, I've heard people able to do fun things with that, too.
Which, you know, live, laugh, love. That's awesome. But, nah, I think Dragon Mox is doggy doo-doo unless... we really start having more affinity cards, like affinity for artifacts and like Metalcraft matter that you can just like, you know, free cast, you know, it's a Thopter that'll eventually be online for something. Go for it. Great. But like you're cul-de-sacking really hard in like 60 card to make this thing work. And I mean, like, yeah, there's some commander decks that absolutely are going to fucking love this thing, but I'm more excited Stormscale Dragon's going to be more fun.
Yeah, Stormscale Dragon looks rad. That's going to be fucking badonkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you feeling about the, not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 commander decks coming in Dark here?
I'd be sad if there were fewer. Like, we had 5 in Duskmourn, didn't we?
Nope, there were just 4.
There were just 4? I don't remember. Oh, no, there were 5 in March Machine. There were 5 in March Machine.
Hang on, when was March? That would have been 23. Okay, so they didn't do a 5 then, but before that, New Capenna had 5.
It's if you have, if there's strong 3-color support in a set, and especially with a Tarkir situation, like obviously, no, I think it's it would be a misstep to not include like all 5. Different triptych pairings. Like, I'm stoked. I really like the design of all the different spirit dragons. I'm really, really, really excited to see the differences between the commander versions and the standard versions of these dragons. I love that we have a fucking enchantment that references Alaisha as well as an Alaisha in standard at the same time. Like, that's my good. Like, frankly, Wizards, that's how you make me roll with the fucking Universes Beyond head-ass dookie-doo. Like, fine. Get SpongeBob into standard. But, like, give me that. Just let me see my Blorbos.
Have you seen... this was announced, I guess, yesterday. Celebrate your local game source community.
Oh, yeah.
At Magic Presents.
Oh,
we need to talk about this. Holy shit.
Oh, fucking so they did this. Bullshit. They did this last year, where they kind of house rules every commander has partner. I'm very strongly considering just running my Rhea Ivor deck, but doing the partners of Norn and Sheldred.
Oh my god, why?
Because I want to get the hot twink art.
I
the hot they them twink art of Nico.
I am. Yeah. Like I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh no, I need this.
If
Nico
they,
art,
if like they air. Print this Chrome Lantern in standard, I will not be, or not standard. Blah, blah, blah. If they print this Rosa cut what I was trying to say. Cut it here. If they print this fucking art in foil, I will not be held responsible for how I spend my money, because I know that Chrome Lantern is like technically a very bad mana rock, but A, I love it. B, I love how gay this art is. C, I think Nico's a fucking sick ass character. Like, let's just
also Mistbeak is staying in, just so everyone knows that you fucked
Thank
up
you.
And that you're human too. Because I think we need to live by our mistakes.
I love how even on this page they have like spotlighted some queer characters like Errant and Karlach.
Yep. I do really enjoy, like, when we do the good gay shit, we do the good gay shit.
I'm very nice excited about this
stuff, because honestly, I was mentally prepared for
like yeah, I've been prepared
the
for
last
like
year of corporate pride, which is a neutral thing. You know, it's yeah. not good, it's not bad. It's indicative of bad things, but in of itself, I really don't mind. But yeah. you know, it's kind of somewhat cool to see that there are artists at Wizards that they do care. You know,
well, I mean, like there's so many queer people that work. Like within design at Wizards, there's and like so many people who
in the community fans.
Yeah, I was gonna say like folks who are like shepherding this are. I mean, hi, hello. I am a insert just a long beep here for slurs. Like, yeah,
and I talk about this shit for free. Something like this is also entirely different from like you know Target fucking selling like oh here's a. Rainbow colored fanny pack, whereas this is a community event. It is relies on people showing up in person. I think that
go to your store, see the gays, show everyone your gay deck. Actually, okay, maybe I'll choose
this
peace
is my
and
this is my short stack goblin porn deck.
Oh my god. I'd support it, I'd allow it.
I would not printing, I would not
critical. Unlimited short stack goblin decks in Commander.
Has there been a printing of Elspeth as a creature?
Elspeth as a I don't believe so.
I think there's maybe
unless it's one of the flip commanders.
That's what I was thinking. I'm gonna hold on. Let me because otherwise if I'm doing this, I'm gonna make Elspeth Norn.
No, I don't think so. Does not look like it.
Dude, I came up with that goblin joke like an hour ago. I've just been waiting for an excuse to use it.
I support it.
I'm a comedic terrorist.
Nope. No Elspeth creatures.
Unfortunate. God.
I think that's I might okay. do. I was just asking friends if I could rule zero Edgar Charmed Groom and Olivia Crimson Bride.
Well, that's
I have never fucking seen two cards that were meant to be partner and just didn't have the keyword on them.
Oh, the OTJ, Malcolm and Breaches. I've played against a rule zero, them partnered. Oh, that's that good.
I do love some is it nonsense.
Oh, you betcha.
God. So what else? All right, what else do we want to talk about? What else we talked about Tarkir? We've talked a bit about Avatar. We talked about Final Fantasy last time, right?
Yeah, we talked about that some. I mean, I don't think the spoilers were necessarily out, but like, I frankly at this point don't have a ton to say. It's like we've seen the face commanders for the decks, and I don't love that we have like a power corrupt Alesha. For one of them, like
I feel like every single Final Fantasy crossover of this decade has involved some sort of spoilers, like the whole Sephiroth Smash Ultimate thing, where his final smash is just spoilers for the entirety of Final Fantasy VII. I don't know. It's always
I think that's different. Like FF7 is like it's an iconic game. And that
came out, yeah, like
everybody's seen those fucking cutscenes 1,000 times.
It came out last year. What are you talking about? It came out on PS5 last year.
I don't think that bears out with scrutiny. But no, I remember we talked about the fuck off big Cactar.
Yeah, and either fling it or
swords. Yeah,
I actually do have a magic topic that we could discuss.
Go for it.
Chudded out magic fans. What's the deal? What's the deal with chud magic YouTube?
Oh my! I mean, I'm surprised at how much magic has grown, frankly. Rosa, you weren't there when they announced that Aragorn was going to be black, right?
I was not, but I'm pissed off anyway. I've got something new to get pissed off over. First the Human Torch, now him. Really? Come on, guys. This black.
The chuds were out in force.
Oh, people were pissed.
It was. Yeah. I like. God, actually, okay. I can kind of riff on that. On the flip side, I think it's really cool how far like the community has come to try to fix itself from a lot of that shit.
Well, and I think it's not like, just.
Well, sorry, I mean, like no, I can. I was just gonna say, like, I never felt unsafe. Like I fired multiple cubes with entirely like straight participants other than myself, and everyone was super cool, everyone was super chill, like, and it wasn't even in this like kind of performative way. It was just like, oh yeah, no, like, you're like, we're all playing Magic together and we all want to be playing Magic together, and so like it's cool to see that there's been a development there.
I
think it also has to do with like the people who have shepherded, might not be the right word, but the people who have led this community for a long time and who have been big parts of not just educating but continuing to be enthusiastic and getting new people to be enthusiastic about Magic have been incredibly, incredibly supportive of queer people, of people of color. The best example I can think of, and I got into a conversation a couple months ago with a friend who were talking about how they just didn't really care for Prof from the Tolarian Community College. And I had, which was just like a personal thing. They just didn't like, you know, his mannerisms and that kind of thing. And I'm like,
which,
you know, like I,
each their own,
I can,
whatever.
Yeah, to each their own. I can get down with that, but like I am never going to say a bad word about that man, because here is somebody who is a cis,
straight,
middle-aged white dude,
$500,000 for trans people, like
who just in this climate just did that. But like you go back years, you go back and look at Shuffle Up and Play, which is a commander. They have other creators on. We would love to be on it, by the way, but. They have such a variance of gender identities, of skin colors, of backgrounds, of levels of experience and exposure. And
I mean, like that, some of the writers for Shuffle Up and Play are trans. Like,
yeah, no, like it's not accidental.
He's
like,
been good. Like,
and I think, you know, the fact that he is one of the, if not, I think now the biggest Magic YouTube channel, like the queer people, people of color, minorities of all shapes and sizes have been integral to this community from day
especially
one. And
that minorities,
yeah, the mere have always been here.
The tiny,
but
minorities. The little guys,
yeah,
the littlest of guys.
Bring out the little minorities.
The little guy community. The little guy community has a lot to thank Prof for.
But it has been like this. You know, it feels like a long time ago, you know, whether you go to LGSs, whether you play online, there are going to be assholes, you know, as there is with any fandom, with any kind of niche interest. There are going to be people there's somebody at my LGS who
talk shit,
comes to the
drop
store.
Drop their name.
I don't actually remember his name, but there's somebody at my LGS who has a God, what the fuck? It's a. Oh, it's a Let's Go Brandon sticker on his card case.
Oh, fucking
hell yeah, brother! Let's go. Oh.
And
on
principle, the couple of people I play with, because here's the thing, he's not actually like a rude asshole. Like, I've played with way worse assholes. I think everybody has. Well, but yeah, on principle, we'll kind of target him just a little bit.
You gotta punch the bestie a few times.
It's about the principle of the thing. But yeah, outside of that, as a queer person, I have never been, it's just like what you're talking about, folks. Like, I've never been made to feel uncomfortable at an LGS. I've never been made to feel ostracized at an LGS. Granted, that may happen one day when I sit down to play, but most people are able to realize and recognize that when you're playing Magic, you have invested a lot of time into this thing. You love this thing just like everybody else at the table, or you're learning to love it, and people want to tell you about their favorite decks, their favorite cards, tips, tricks. Like, it's such a, the gathering is such an apt term for this game, because that is at its core, that's what it's all about.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Those were bars. You should be like a speechwriter for Hillary Clinton or something. Holy shit.
Yep, that's where my talent would definitely go.
God damn, that was like an Obama speech. Holy fuck. You're goated, dude. Big round of applause. Let's go, Jordan.
No, but you're like very right also. Like, to be sincere. Yes. No.
No,
like,
yeah.
But
I got some on the Podtog YouTube channel, which I run, in the recommended, there was just some like chud ass Magic YouTubers being recommended. Yeah. I forget what they were called. I was like, huh, I guess I don't know what the political makeup of MTG is, but
it's varied.
It is, but it is broadly, and well, here's the other thing, is I think people are much less likely, and this is, hey, this bears out across every political line. Most people who will talk shit online won't talk shit to your face. Like, they will not. If somebody is transphobic, if somebody is, you know, posting gay slurs online, odds are, if you come and sit down at a table with them, they're just going to try and play the game. They might go and bitch about it later on their favorite forums. They might go say, oh, this, you know, whatever slur, I was so disgusted, like, whatever. But in the moment, most people won't do that. And it's because they know that there are other people either like you or who are friends with you or who will support you in that instance. And I mean, know that in real life, they would be the asshole and everybody would see it.
Yeah, that goes for any sort of community space. Because, like, as someone who's been called all sorts of things walking down the street, you're never really called it when you have to spend like an hour with the person, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Or if it's like in any sort of enclosed space where I'm able to take out my gun and shoot them. It's a joke, but it's a weird thing. The whole online versus offline bigotry thing.
It is very nuts.
But at the end of the day, what I think that you guys are trying to say, but you're not brave enough to say, is if you are homophobic, shout the F slur in the street.
It is funny. I will say, the one F slur encounter I've had playing Magic, because I have friends, I have, you know, trans friends, queer friends that use it.
Oh, but very different.
Oh yeah, very different. But there was a moment
versus the N word. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and so there was a moment where I was playing a Commander game with two other trans femmes, myself and a straight white dude who I had never seen, and since this game I have not seen at the store since. And we were playing, and I put down my commander. I was playing Astarion, and one of the trans femmes was like, "Oh, who's a Sarian?" And the other one says, "Rosa, get ready to bleep this. The vampire from Baldur's Gate." And when my friend said vampire, the straight white dude next to me like recoiled as if somebody had just literally slapped him and audibly went, "Whoa."
And it's like, man.
Yeah. And so that was that. That is one of my in hindsight, one of my most cherished Magic memories, because we all laughed it off, and I think he was, for whatever reason, suddenly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I kind of love. I don't even kind of. I fucking love that. That's
we
funny
really
as hell.
Are the black people on the front lines, recuperating the N-word in the modern day. Would you say that you're like the MLK of your generation, Jordan?
In that I hate moderate liberals, and will probably end up in prison.
Despite
in the next
being
couple
a liberal
years.
Yourself.
Yeah, I hate that which I am. In that I am far more radical and love me an orgy and some parties, and the FBI is probably watching me right now.
I probably have a question. Have either of you at the FBI come to your house before? Because I do have a story.
It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time at this point. I'm almost certain.
Pussy, get your post game up. Bugs.
I know.
You?
I know.
I try to be a good little poster. Yeah. By which I mean to say, I only say head ass shit when it's private.
Yeah, when I was in the IWW, I did have an FBI agent show up and ask me about my anti-American rhetoric.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Not an FBI agent, it was two FBI agents. They come in pairs. They're a lot like...
They come in pairs, they're just like me. Twins. Fucking yeah. Fruit.
Exactly. Jordan, I'm disappointed. I thought more highly of you. What the hell?
I do my work, my best work in the shadows. But like,
you
hey,
really are
make no mistake, there are, I guarantee I'm on multiple lists. I can guarantee it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, dude, YouTube is so extensively monitored. My buddy, Flesh Simulator, shout out.
Shout out.
Has a YouTube channel. Go check it out. We were talking about this. It's like any YouTuber who's espoused any sort of radical politics, you can just get a FOI request on yourself and just see how much info there is. Just thousands of pages. It's always so extensive. It's insane. I'm assuming there's some back ending there, but like it's genuinely bonkers.
That's nutty as hell.
Oh yeah. I'm not gonna say who, but a YouTuber friend, they did an FOI request on themselves. And it's like, they're getting thousands of pages over 5 years.
Ooh, I should do that. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Put in the request. You really don't have anything to lose. By doing it. But. Yeah, it's fucking crazy, dude. What I worry about with the whole YouTube thing is like, you know how Bezos and Zuck are obviously sucking on Daddy Trump's teat lately?
Oh yeah,
indeed.
What I worry about is like Google just saying, in accordance with like free markets and free speech or whatever the fuck, we're gonna start censoring left-leaning content.
I am absolutely racing for.
Yeah,
I'm anticipating that.
That's something that I've been thinking about quite a bit. Yeah, I've been thinking about getting like my like funnily enough, I've been thinking about making a second composting channel on like that right-wing YouTube alternative, the free speech YouTube, where like Sam Hyde posts videos about why like the Jews are bad or whatever. I've been thinking about like getting some of my videos backed up on there, because I genuinely worry about like
YouTube, I mean,
changing policies with that sort of thing.
It wouldn't hurt, and having that
I keep all my shit backed up in multiple spots, so.
Well, yeah, I've got on external hard drive. I just mean so, like...
Having, like, a backup platform.
Yeah. Even if it obviously is all on RSS, I'm not worried about... RSS is just so decentralized that there's no way of really censoring a podcast as easily.
Yeah.
I do like having those videos available. It's just something I kind of think about.
Which is nice. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. I wish I was big enough to talk to Curiosity Streamer over the fuck, but I digress. Magic the Gathering podcast.
Indeed. Magic the Gathering podcast. Gathering, Matt, podcast.
Yeah, your latest Magic the Gathering / political podcast.
Dude, fuck all this good discussion we're having.
Oh, it's all staying in. Are you kidding?
Oh no, it is. It's I don't know. I don't think anyone's complaining. If you are, fuck you.
Yeah, seconded.
Yeah.
Well, do we have anything else we wanted to touch upon this week?
Not really from my end. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I fucking bet. I'm really looking forward to next time. So what is the next con?
The next con's not until the summer. Okay. And that will be over in Vegas, which I will not be going to because you could not pay me to go to Vegas in the summer.
Vegas is just an inhospitable place. Fuck Vegas, dude.
I love MagicCon. I love seeing my friends. I will be trying to go to Atlanta.
Oh, but Atlanta's a great city. Shout out Atlanta. Shout out all of our Atlanta listeners. Love Atlanta.
Yeah, hell yeah, Atlanta. Fuck Vegas.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think I will try and go to, I'm working on a Judith cosplay, and I am going to try and go to Atlanta as well, because I'm not trying to fucking, Vegas in the summertime.
When's like, the Atlanta one?
Atlanta is going to be in end of September.
You know, I'll drive down. I'm in New York. It's a little bit of a drive, but it's East Coast.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Potatog does Atlanta. Let's go.
Why not?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We want to wrap it there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Hot, hot, hot. Well, yeah, thank you all for listening. This has been Potatog, where we talk pods and talk cards and get into deep political discussions about how we're all fearful for the future. My name is Bugs Matrix. You can find me at Bugs Matrix on most reasonable socials. Shit posting. Jordan, where can they find you?
You can find me at Dead Domain on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Blue Sky, and I'm sure some other places where I often do in-depth political discussion. I stream weekly. I talk about just everything going on here and occasionally talk about making neat magic proxies that I've been getting into lately.
And I'm Rosa, stand-up comedian, host of the Composting Podcast, which you can find YouTube and wherever you're listening to this. And you can find me on Twitter. My old account got banned. I'm now on Twitter at the handle at TradSlut, spelled Trad S-L-V-T.
Immaculate.
Banger at. I don't know how it wasn't taken.
That kicks. That fucking
kicks.
It's
such a good at. I was so happy.
Yeah, I just scored that. Jesus Christ. Good job.
You have no idea how happy I am.
I live, laugh, love that for you. And on that note, pass the turn.